This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
I'm Joe Rooney and I played Father Damo.
And I'm Patrick McDonald and I played Owen McLove. And this is Talking Ted, a show about the memories, stories and insights into what has made Father Ted the golden cleric of Irish TV shows. In this episode, we're going to be watching the episode Entertaining Father Stone.
And we'll be talking to Michael Redmond, who played the part of Father Stone.
But let's just go through.
This is Arthur Matthews' favourite episode of Father Ted.
Is it?
Apparently it is, yeah. I love it as well.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Because we've all known Father Stones.
Especially if you're living in the country, there'd be fellas who just drop in and you have to let them in and give them a cup of tea.
That's right.
And then they just sit there.
I love the start with the jigsaw and Dougal cutting the piece. That was a really inspired moment. I think Ardal might have improvised some of these. You know, where he's on the phone and he just drops it down without putting it back on the thing. That was just improvised.
I love that.
Yeah.
The wishes are brilliant.
That's right.
I had a big car and a...
And again, it says a lot about Ireland and our expectations. We had low expectations.
Yeah.
For ourselves. You know, it's just Ireland, so we're just grand. Yeah. That'll be grand. I'm grand. That is what everyone says in Ireland. We're grand. It's grand.
Yeah. She can't be.
Means it's not that good. It's never very good.
But you can't be wishing for too much.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's the cup. That'd be great.
In most episodes, did it just cut to the titles and.
I don't know, actually.
Yes, there's a good question there.
We'll find out as we go through the series.
Yeah, well, the first episode didn't have it. It just cut to the...
Right, yeah.
Went from the Titans in. Also, it cut straight. That's why they had it. So Father Stone is in the first scene.
Oh, that's right. They need that little bit at the beginning just to...
Because
Father Stone is straight in there, yeah.
And the boredom and they're not speaking.
His face. What a great moustache.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just... I would die for a moustache like that.
Yeah. I remember Michael was I really liked his style. I know we said in the first episode we mentioned Kevin McAleer, and I forgot to mention Michael.
No,
Michael was a very big name at the time and on RTE a lot and a lot on British channels quite a bit doing stand up. And was very deadpan, quite surreal, and we thought he was brilliant.
Yeah.
So I knew who he was when this went out.
Absolutely, yeah. And he had some great one liners. In fact, one of them was robbed. He had that one line, people often say to me, what are you doing in my garden? And it was a brilliant gag when you look at him. He's just standing there in a Mac.
Yeah.
But it was robbed by that fellow.
Oh, Joe Pasquale.
Yeah.
And Joe that was Pasquale. A big thing. Stuart Lee then had a whole routine about that then.
Mm.
Your man nicking his material. That's right, yeah. And he also had done work with Dermot Morgan. He knew Dermot Morgan. They're a bit the same age.
That's right,
and he'd been on those the live mic doing the hidden camera. Michael's in quite a few of those scenes.
It's funny because when I first saw Michael Redmond as a stand-up, I didn't recognise him from doing all that stuff with Dermot Morgan. I saw him as a new comedian.
Yeah, Dougal fell. There was quite a few falls when I was in it. They had a mat and you had to be trained to fall. There was a stuntman showed you how to fall down your knee.
Yeah, I've had that. Not on Father Ted, but on Killing Scully. Something really ridiculous.
Yeah.
They'd bring a stunt man in.
I think, what are you doing here? I know to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, paying you. And you get paid more than I am as an actor. Hate that.
I wonder, was it the stunt guy who did the mission then was telling you how to fall down on your knee? Can you imagine he'd done the mission and now he's just teaching you how to...
That's right, yeah. Just... Robert De Niro falling out of a tree in the Amazon. And then he says, oh, you me falling off a bar stool. Bit of a calm down.
Yeah. And here's Mrs. Doyle.
That was very quick. She didn't have much to do.
On this episode.
Yeah.
I think we should have a lot of silences in this episode. Just in honour of Father
Stone. That's right. Yeah. I'm very polite though. Some people, I think, in Germany, I'd say, if someone came to your house and was very, very boring, they'd tell you. In no uncertain terms that you're boring and they don't want to do stuff. and probably Americans wouldn't sit there politely. But in Ireland, my God, we do. I do, you know, put up with, you know, people like that who bore you solidly on a train or whatever. Too polite to put in my earphones or.
Yeah. Nowadays we have our smartphones and you just ignore people. But
yeah,
the old days. I mean, we used to have a guy in Kerry, Matt, a fellow from Kerry, who'd come around. And we couldn't understand him. And he'd come in. And he'd sit in the house for an hour. And you would just go, yeah, that's right. That's right, Michael. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I never understood.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'd be asking a question and you weren't given the right answer.
Yeah.
I was just going, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
And he'd repeat whatever he said.
I remember a few people I knew who were just very boring. And one guy in particular, it was in a flat I was in, and he was telling me a story and I fell asleep. And I woke up and he was still telling it. I remember sitting, someone visited us and I was there with my wife. Just really boring woman, and I fell asleep again. Had to be nudged awake. And I think she noticed now. But yeah, but we're very polite. We can't tell people.
To be honest, I think my father was very boring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell me, Joe.
We used to visit other families and I just listened to him talking to the man of the other family, and he'd just come out with awful bland stuff, and the other fella be going, people used to call him his name is Michael, and the other fella be going, he did my oh, it is my she did my
yeah,
that's terrible. Yeah, he's a great man, my father, but
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but we, you know, a lot of people in Ireland weren't socialised very well. We lived in rural communities and people were isolated.
Mm.
You know, you just lived on the farm. You wouldn't see anyone all week, maybe only the cattle.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so you just didn't have the social skills then when you went to visit someone.
Yeah. Just didn't have that. Yeah.
We weren't trained that way. And we're not confident like Americans who say anything, you know, have no sort of filter or guard like that, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, that's right. You spend a lot of time on his own just working on the farm, and then be expected to
be the life and soul of the party then. A bit of crack. There's the scene with the where Jack throws Ted out of the window with the American football gear on. Isn't that it? He's asking about Father Begley.
Yeah.
We do
that
a lot. What age? He'd be a good age.
Oh,
that was
constant.
Yeah.
He must be 80 now, right?
Must be the 80. Mm. He'd be 74 in June.
Would he now? Would he? Yeah, Father Ted is waking up Father Jack. And he's in the gear because he knows it's going to be trouble.
Yeah. Great surreal bits. We never see the window being fixed or anything like that. It's just you cut to the next scene and everything's normal again. And you know, the telly could smash and the telly's back to normal. And we never question that.
I know. Brilliant. So that would be probably the stunt man. I'm sure that was.
That's right, yeah. And there'd be a glazer on the island, this small island. There'd be someone to come out and fix your window for you very quickly.
We're now going to chat to Michael Redmond, who played Father Stone.
A friend, in inverted commas, of Father Ted, who comes to visit him.
Yeah, a fellow who says nothing. And do you know people like that? I
kind of do, but I'm afraid to say it.
So are they.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably Father Stone.
What was the name of the episode, actually?
It was called Entertaining Father Stone.
Of course,
there was some play called Entertaining.
It was a Joe Wharton
Stone
play
or something.
Yeah, a Joe Wharton play from the '60s. Very clever. I think most of the episodes were plays on films or
songs, even
Chirpy
Beep.
Beep, cheap beep,
beep, which is a play on the lyric.
Yeah.
Woke up this morning and my mama, isn't it?
Ooh-wee, chirpy, cheep, cheep. Middle of the Road, 1971.
Yeah, nice.
Number one, written by, I can tell you, it is, yeah.
Okay, Rain Man here.
One of the greats.
Anyway, Michael, what were you doing at the time that Father Ted started out?
Well, it was, I think the reason I got the job was that I was doing a gig in the Bloomsbury Theatre. It was a kind of an Irish comedy night with, I think it was Dylan Moran and Artle, I think. And somebody else, I can't remember, but Graham and Arthur were in the audience. They came along to see it, I suppose, because it was an Irish comedy night. But they came up to me afterwards, and I didn't know who they were. They said they'd written a sitcom about priests on an island. I thought it sounded like a lot of shite. But so I was contacted about 2 months later, and I kind of just went in for it was kind of an audition. I think they kind of had me penciled in anyway for the part because they'd seen my stand-up, you know. But so it was kind of an audition, but I think it was kind of
okay.
More or less, they just kind of wanted to make sure, I think, you know.
Did you say anything in the audition? Yeah. Were you given the script beforehand?
I was given the script, yeah. I mean, I can't remember which bit I did. I remember the bit where her father's dad says, "So are you going to leave?" And I said, "Well, yeah, if there's a fire." And Geoffrey Perkins says, "That's what kind of sealed it for him." When I said, "Yeah, well, if there's a fire,
very good,
I will leave." Yeah. So that bit must have been in the kind of audition bit,
right?
So yeah, I was basically doing stand up in London at the time.
And had you done the Ben Elton show? Wasn't there a Ben Elton live comedy thing?
I'd done the he was the compere of it. It was called Friday Night Live. Yeah,
Friday Night Live.
And it was kind of like for emerging stand ups. Mm-hmm. I suppose it's kind of the live of the Apollo at the time, that kind of thing.
I remember you were quite the name. I mean, there was only a few names in Irish comedy at the time. I mean, Kevin McAleer was quite a big name. Owen O'Neill had broken through a bit, and Sean Hughes. But you were there as well. Like, you'd quite a name. You used to play Andrew's Lane
I think the thing was that it was Kevin and myself appeared on Friday Night Live, so our names were kind of, we were more sort of higher profile at the time, I think, because we'd been on Friday Night Live. You know, it was kind of sort of very kudos if you got on that at the time, you know. Then I did Clive Anderson Talks Back as well. I did a stand-up spot on his show as well. So yeah, it was going well for a while. But the problem was that I didn't really realise that. I think a lot of people thought because I was older that I probably had loads of material. But I was basically just starting, really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you had a kind of character, well, similar to Father Stoner, but it was,
yeah,
you wore
it wasn't
a Mac,
really a character.
Wasn't
it? It was kind of like, I suppose it was kind of like an extension of myself, really. I still spoke in the same accent, and I just put the Mac on because I thought it would look, get a laugh when I walked on stage, which it always did for some reason because it just looked a bit strange, you know. But it was basically me. I wasn't really playing a character as such. Kind of, it was very, very sort of low key, and kind of I would do a one liner, then pause, and then just stare at the audience. a bit more upbeat than that now, but it was basically me to a large extent. But yeah, I think that's why, because it was mm-hmm. so sort of downbeat, I think that's why the guys sort of thought it would suit the part of Father Stone, you know?
Yeah, and I always think that one of the amazing things of Father Ted is the casting is incredible. I mean, they probably, same with our characters.
Yeah, I'm quite like the character I played in many ways. And you are quite Father Tame one.
I think, very clever,
you know, we've travelled quite a bit, like, very clever. They picked up, they're very observant. And they definitely picked up aspects of her personality. And I've travelled with you, Michael, and, you know, you're not a million miles from Fatherstone. You're not Fatherstone.
Yeah.
You're very
intelligent.
But, like, there would be silences in the car.
Yeah, I'm not Mr. Talkative, but no means they obviously saw that, yeah. So there is definitely an element of Fatherstone to me, yeah. There's no doubt about that, yeah.
I often wonder, did they, with all three of us, did they see us first and go, "Oh, that's an, I have an idea now for a character we could put in Father Ted," or did they have the character and then go, "Oh, who'd be suited?"
It's hard to know.
It's a bit
really.
Of both.
I know that Arthur told me that he had an uncle who was very like Father Stone. I think he used to visit them at Christmas and not say anything. You know those sort of, you know, the uncle that never married, that kind of that he's always invited for Christmas because people feel sorry for him.
They were always unaware that they were boring. They always, they had no idea. If you said to them, "You're very quiet," they wouldn't. They'd be shocked.
No, indeed. Exactly. That's just the way they were, yeah.
And come here, Michael. When you got the part, you were flown. Were you in London at the time?
Yeah, I was living in London then, yeah.
And you would have been flown over to Clare to film the exterior shots then?
Yeah. Yeah, we stayed in some hotel in Dublin for a night, and then we drove down to Clare. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Arthur and Graham and I think Dermot was in the. I don't think Arnold was in the van. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure Dermot and Graham and Arthur were there.
That was the first series when you all went in a van together, and by the third series, they were all in limos.
Yeah. Actually, Dermot had rented cottage, I think, by the time I was doing it.
He did.
Did he?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah, he didn't even stay in the hotel.
No.
He did.
Yeah, the same with me. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really, oh,
I was just looking at the scene where is it Father Jack jumps out the window? But and there's a few stunts done in Father Ted. Do you remember the stunt man on Father Ted?
Yeah, well, that's where it was. I remember seeing this guy. He was in the van as well, and I couldn't figure out. Nobody introduced me, and I didn't know who he was. I just thought, he was the son of the driver or something. I didn't know, because nobody said who he was.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until they did the actual stunt that I realized he actually had a purpose.
Yeah, and that guy was famous because he did the stunt in the film The Mission, where the fella, his nail is tied to a cross and falls off the waterfall. It's an incredible stunt.
Oh, really?
And he'd done that before he did.
That was him.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
That was him. Like, no one else would do it.
The senior Father Ted must have seemed fairly tame to him then compared
Absolutely,
to the mission.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so he's blown out the window or something, wasn't he? Sort of, and Father Ted has a bit of a backdraft or something.
That's right, yeah. And you know, when it's raining and the lightning strikes, did you get really wet that day?
We did actually. That was. I can't remember whether they used false rain or whether it was raining, but we were pissed on you. Really, it was. It was cold as well, because it was. I think it was January, I think, wasn't it? I'm fairly sure it was January when we filmed it. It was certainly winter anyway. It was bloody freezing anyway. Remember that?
Yeah, I think they did all the outside stuff in winter.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah. It was when I did it. It was November. I think we filmed the outdoors, and then. Do you know a funny thing I did? I filmed the outdoor scenes. I had a big cold sore. I was really self-conscious.
Mm.
I have a bloody cold sore. It's a big thing. And it went away. Yeah. And then it came back for the studio.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just so cold it went away. Yeah, but I remember it was particularly cold, yeah. So I can't remember. It was certainly winter. I think it was January.
And do you remember the scene? Yeah, obviously the famous scene where you come in and Father Ted's having a bath and you sit on the toilet. Did you actually take down your underpants for that scene?
No, I don't think so. No. Maybe I wasn't wearing any.
This, I wasn't commando. It was the '90s. You could then, certainly.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But that was the only scene they had to do. That was the only scene they had to take. They had to do another take because I didn't know there
was
a fart.
Was there a fart?
Yeah, there was. You can barely hear it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can barely hear it. It's not a big, loud, rasping fart, but it's kind of one of those sort of sneaky ones, yeah. And But I heard it and I smiled, so they had to do a retake. But that was the only time, that was the only scene. That was
so
the
when
only
they were
scene
in the studio getting the fart, they wrote sneaky fart.
Yeah. It must have, yeah.
I think the stuntman did all those farts.
Stuntman did the farts, yeah.
But just getting back though, I mean, so months went by and then you go back into the, you know, rehearsal studio then in London. Is that right?
I think it was all done in the same week.
No, it was all the same week, yeah. But you would have done 3 or 4 days of rehearsal and then gone into the studio. Is that right?
I can't remember doing much rehearsals, to be honest. Maybe because my stuff was so sort of monosyllabic I didn't have to do.
Right.
They decided I didn't need an awful lot of rehearsing. But I think it was only one day.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think it
as far as I remember, there was only one day of rehearsal, and then the rest, they filmed it in the... It was in Thames TV, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah, in the South Bank, yeah. Mm. Huge studio.
On the river, yeah. And yeah, that's right, yeah.
I suppose, like, well, we were only saying that the other day, myself and Patrick, to us at the time, it was a week's work, and we didn't think that 20-whatever years later, we'd still be talking about it.
Yeah. But you probably did more than me because, I mean, it was the first series when I did it. So, I mean, there was no sense. It had never hadn't gone out on television. So, you know, with any sitcom or any television program, you don't know until it goes out what the reaction is going to be, you know. So,
did it happen immediately for you? Were you immediately recognized? Was it something that built?
No, it took a while. And I think it had been after it had been sort of, I can't remember the exact time, but it certainly wasn't straight away because I think with most sort of television appearances, unless you keep cropping up, people don't really recognize you. And because it was because the whole series was repeated so much, I think it was probably about 3 or 4 years before, you know, people started really recognizing me. Yeah. Certainly wasn't instant by any means. Yeah, I mean, people, you know, who kind of knew me, you know, in the industry and people who worked in comedy would have known, all right. But as I mean, sort of as regards the general public, I didn't really get sort of started getting recognized in the street and that kind of thing or in pubs until it was about 3 or 4 years later.
Was there a feeling when you were making it that it would probably just be a very minor hit, maybe a cult type show, very small?
It wasn't even a sense of anything really. You just didn't know, you know. There was, there was certainly no idea that it would be anything like it turned out to be. I remember Jeffrey Perkins though was very optimistic. He said, "I think this is going to be huge." But I thought maybe that's just, you know, the producers just saying that kind of thing because they have to, you know. But he seemed to think that it was going to really hit the mark, you know.
In terms of, he was right. He's an amazing man, Jeffrey Perkins. I think there should be a statue to Jeffrey Perkins put up somewhere because he produced so much great comedy. He was involved in so many all through that sort of alternative comedy era.
Oh yeah, he was behind a lot of it. Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Well, on that note, it's been great talking.
I know.
I'm only joking.
It is just amazing how much it has impacted, say, our lives, myself and Joe. It's almost on a daily basis we talk about Father Ted. Someone recognizes us, Father Ted. We are.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah.
It's like we went to some industrial school never gone away, and we, you know.
I mean, I don't get that much of it anymore because, I mean, probably in Ireland it's even more. It's still, you know, I remember the last time I did the Kilkenny Comedy Festival, it was actually becoming fucking unbearable, you know?
Mm.
I literally couldn't walk down the street, I don't mind, you know, stopping for a photograph and then that's grand, cheers, but they wouldn't fucking leave me alone.
Wow.
It was incredible.
Yeah,
I suppose also that's because it was in the middle of a comedy festival as well, so there was kind of, it was more concentrated, you know.
Yeah, I get it every day. One thing I found is that I, you know, bringing my kids to, say, clinics or going to a clinic myself for some procedure or even being in a solicitor's office and they're looking at you and all they're thinking is, there's your man from Father Ted. They're thinking Blur or Oasis or, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Is there a line that people would say to you, like?
Yeah, they want me to say, "Could you say I'm fine?"
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
They just crack up when you say it. Yeah, it's just two words, you know. Two words, yeah. They just crack up, you know. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm not. Some people think, you know, that it would piss you off that you sort of get recognised for it, but I mean, I'm actually quite grateful. I mean, it's one of the best sitcoms of all time, and you're recognised as being one of the characters in it, you know. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I sort of take on the plaudits with gratitude rather than, you know, being getting peed off about it. I mean, apart from that time at Kilkenny where it was becoming a bit unbearable, but I mean, I didn't get upset about it. You know, I wasn't getting antagonistic or anything, but I could have lived without it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice level of fame, I think.
Yeah, it is, because it's not unbearable. Yeah, exactly. You can still go to a restaurant and without people hustling you, you know.
It's not a lucrative level of fame.
No, there's certainly not that. No, there'll be no yachts in the Mediterranean for us, I'm afraid.
Maybe work on them on.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was told I was on pulled up at a petrol station one day, and some fella recognised me. This is a while ago now. He recognised me, and then he looked at me car and he told me I should be driving around in a limo.
I was told on a train. I got on a train and he says, "I thought you'd be driving a Ferrari." Ferrari.
See, the thing is, they see, they, we were all only in one episode, but it's repeated. The public don't think, "Oh, that's the same episode." They just see you on television.
People are thick. They really are.
Well, it's also another story that I used to live in a block of flats, which were kind of high-rise. They were kind of modern block of flats. But I was there for about 10 years, but my sons told me that this friend of theirs was on a bus that was passing by the block of flats where I live. And so there was these two old women, and they were looking out, and they looked at the block of flats and said, the fellow from Father Ted lives in the penthouse there, and apparently he's a cocaine addict.
That's fantastic.
The penthouse.
Yeah. And that's what they want.
I was just renting the That's what the but yeah, but I mean, that's, as you said, that's only, it's kind of like, it's a, with us, it's a very small level. But imagine what it is like if you are, you know, really, really famous and spotted all the time. It must be just like, unbearable.
It's like being in a prison. You can't leave the house, I would imagine.
But you'd have a big house not to leave.
At least you would.
You'd have a very big house. You'd have a very big house to hide in. Yeah, exactly. And you'd have a penthouse, and you'd have your cocaine addiction as well.
Yeah, you could probably hire a cocaine addict to live with you, so you wouldn't have to be addicted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A stunt cocaine addict. Yeah. just going to stand at the penthouse with my moustache.
Well, surely the cocaine would get in your moustache. That would be a big problem, I'd say. For
that's true,
a lot
yes.
of waste. Of
that would be, it would be trouble. There'd be a lot of stored cocaine, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. Penthouse, and apparently he's a cocaine addict.
Amazing.
He really came out of himself then. He wasn't so quiet now on the cocaine.
Yeah, he started talking then.
He had to take cocaine to talk. Yeah.
I had an uncle who was like that, who only would a drink. He just never said, he said nothing. Like, he would literally, and I'd give him a drink and he couldn't shut him up. Hilarious and entertaining, but he just took one drink.
Yes. Yeah, really, that's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very strange. Yeah, I know, people are weird. Probably including us.
I'd say we are. Definitely.
I wonder if I'm like Father Stone. But do you ever wonder you might be Father Stone? I wonder, like, are people going, oh, thank God he's gone? I worry about it.
They probably do, They probably do, yeah. They're probably a bit scared to... Maybe that's why not that many people come up to me. They're probably a bit terrified of
you're coming to
him and talk to him and he just stare at me.
I know. But we don't have the self-awareness to realise we're like that, yeah. Oh, do you know, I just wanted to, one more thing. When I was on the set of Father Ted, I wanted to steal the painting. I thought it was the funniest thing in the show. That painting of
Father Stone?
Yeah, and Ted together was just
brilliant. A lot of people have asked me for a copy of that, but I mean, I told them to write to Hattrick because I don't have one. But it is, because my face...
Someone took it, I think, on the last day.
But I think Hattrick still have a copy of it, as far as I know.
Yeah,
because my face is about half the size. I don't know. It's very funny, though. I mean, my face is about half the size of his as well, isn't it? It's kind of it's like a...
It's brilliant.
A kind of an aging kid or something. It's very strange.
Oh, I love that. But I touched it when I was over there.
Did you?
It was iconic.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Yeah, I don't know who did it, actually. I should have asked, actually. But yeah, it's a great drawing.
I love the way they put it up, though, from then on.
It was there.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? I didn't realise that. Yeah,
with it's John F. Kennedy and the Pope.
Oh, was it? I didn't realise that.
We were actually in every episode after that.
You should have got paid for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Yes. But apparently they were going to put me in another episode, but Jeffrey Perkins said no, apparently. I think he felt it had been done. Kind of.
Oh, he's gone down in my estimation now.
I
was in the second season and everyone kept saying, oh, they'll definitely bring you back, all this kind of stuff.
I suppose the thing is that because each of our episodes, anyway, the kind of the episode was written around our character, wasn't it, really? So it had kind of been done, really. Brought us all back for a sort of little cameo, I suppose.
Well,
or something
actually,
like that.
I was in the airplane, actually. Father Damo was in the airplane without saying anything. He didn't say anything. Just sat there.
Oh, I see. Just there.
I think...
And you got a good 35 quid for that, did you?
They flew me over for that, actually.
Did they?
They did actually fly me over. I don't know.
They flew you over to sit in the plane and say nothing.
Yes. Unbelievable. They were very nice.
Jesus, yeah.
And then they asked me to do the warm-up for it once, and I didn't want to do that because I saw how hard it was to do the warm-up. There was two comedians that...
Eddie Bannon used to do it.
Yeah.
When I did it, Eddie Bannon did it.
Yeah.
And there was a double act doing it when I was doing mine, and they were having a really hard time.
That's right. There was an English double act. I didn't mind. Yeah, I forgot their name. I knew them from the circuit because I worked in the London circuit then. I can't remember. They sort of didn't last for long, but they were quite good. I can't remember what they were called.
I mean, they were good, but they were. I find it difficult. And then Dermot Morgan could just say one word and he'd get a big laugh.
Oh,
you know.
This is what I wondered about with Michael. Like, when I was on it in the third series, it was huge. So I rehearsed all week and all the people in the room were laughing at the lines I said. And, you know, they were laughing and they knew Ardal and they knew Dermot and it was fine. They were getting laughs as well. But, like, you know, I was fresh or whatever. Went into the studio and said it and I'd get a titter and then they'd get a huge laugh. Like, it was a wave. It must have been different for you.
Oh, that's true.
Because they didn't know who Dougal was or Ted. It was just, like, the situation was funny.
But I remember thinking. I remember saying to Ardal after we come off the filming, I said, "Jesus, they weren't laughing very much, were they?" And wasn't getting much from the studio audience at all, from what I remember. As you say, also, I mean, Dermot and Ardal and Frank Kitty and
Pauline.
Pauline McLean. They wouldn't have been known then, as you say, because it was the first.
Yeah, they were dressed up as the characters in the audience. It was like that scene in the Extras, you know, where everyone's dressed up as the Ricky Gervais character in the thing. It was like that.
Yeah, and I think I heard Arthur say anyway, maybe that could be misquoting him, but he said that quite often the really good joke, the jokes they really loved in the series, weren't getting the big laughs on the night. Yeah, but anyway.
That's often the way. It's like you boys know, doing stand-up, sometimes you think you've written something, you think that's going to be marvellous, and then you get nothing, and then you've written something else which you think is okay, and then it storms at you.
No. Mine are all, I always get the big laughs, always.
That's because all of your stuff is brilliant.
All 10 minutes of it for 20 years.
Well, listen, Michael, it was nice chatting.
Yeah, good to speak to you lads as well.
Good to talking to you,
thanks, Michael.
Good
that
to
was
hear
brilliant.
From you. See ya.
Thank you. Let's start talking Ted. Thanks a million, Michael Redmond, there for the chat.
And now back to the episode.
He's unrelenting. Yeah. Father Stone.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the brilliant scene now with at the toilet. One of the funniest scenes in the whole thing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, brilliant.
That is amazing. That cut where he's just standing there looking.
Yeah. It's like something out of The Omen or The Shining
it
or
is.
Something.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then to think he's going to just have a wee.
And the character doesn't think there's anything wrong with this.
No.
Father Stone doesn't think.
Yeah.
It was very well done.
I didn't realise he farted.
No.
I couldn't detect that.
No.
Something about this episode that always confused me was that the fact that there's a hospital on the island. And if you've ever been to the Aran Islands or whatever, there's nothing like a hospital.
No.
There's barely a hospital. In Ireland, you're lucky to have a hospital within 50 miles of you. In rural Ireland, like, they're just light years away. And, you know, loads of the rural hospitals have closed down. You have to go to Galway or somewhere if you're there. And yet there's a hospital on Craggy Island.
Yeah. There wouldn't have been, of course.
There wouldn't have been. Trolleys and you know, all these machines, equipment. And there's never a problem with the ferry or anything. Like, you never see that on Father Ted.
Mm.
The ferry crossing over the Aran Islands is horrific. You're churned around like a washing machine.
Well, as Michael Redmond, we were saying, got very sick on the ferry over to Inish Ear.
That's right, yeah. People drive over, they suddenly turn up in the car. Like, certainly I did, you know, just drove to the island. I mean, how did the limo get to the island?
Oh, right.
Yeah, never thinking that. Yeah.
No.
It's kind of ruining
it
for me now.
It is, yeah. I'd say maybe it's like Achill Island and there's a bridge over.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
But it is a place, obviously, where priests who have done wrong are banished to.
Yes. As the 90s progressed, I'd say Craggy Island probably had a community of 50 priests be transferred over. The shit hadn't really hit the fan at that time.
No, at all.
I think maybe that,
think Bishop
Brendan
Casey?
Smith, I think it was probably 93 or something, but it came in a torrent after that. Bishop Casey was before that because that's mentioned in the next episode.
Yeah, where he's got a child, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was all. And we thought that was awful. Oh. Just a man with a...
A child out of wedlock, you know, a bishop having a kid, obviously out of wedlock.
It's nothing now.
It's nothing. That was the good bits. That was healthy behaviour. Yeah. And then whatever came after, Jamie Mac.
Yeah, there's
Arthur Matthews.
Arthur Matthews.
Yeah, very, very good comic actor. He was brilliant.
Amazing.
Loads of cameos in Father Ted, but also in other things, and, you know, Alan Partridge and others. Brilliant actor.
Brilliant.
I don't know why he didn't. Better actor than a lot of the comedians who were in it, you know. I don't know why he didn't do more.
He should have done more. I love all the party gear they're wearing. It's
That's brilliant. Brilliant, yeah. And the idea of priests having
a
party.
And they're just dying to go.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Something I didn't get on, and we could talk about it again, was that the fifth member of the Father Ted cast, for me, was the set.
Right,
it was amazing. Because I don't know if it was so iconic when you were on it, but when I was on it, I'd been rehearsing all week in London, and I hadn't, it was all abstract rehearsing. And then when I got into the studio and I saw the set, it's like being in the Vatican or Mecca or something. The set was amazing.
Yeah, it was. There's detail in it.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Like, it was a lot of houses we, like, certainly I grew up in, we had the same, we had the John F. Kennedy plate.
Yeah.
And several popes. We had Pope Pius, Pope John 23rd, Pope Paul.
Yeah.
Then John Paul II. We had all the popes and all the religious images and various
Pope
pictures
John F.
around.
Kennedy, yeah. It's actually on the cover of the first Pogues album as well. They're in front of a picture of John F. Kennedy and the Pope.
Yeah.
Is in every house.
That's right.
Here we are at the Crazy Golf.
Yeah.
So that was probably fake rain, right? That's what they always do.
It would have been fake rain.
Because real rain doesn't show on camera.
No, it doesn't.
Actually, funny enough, I did Crazy Golf down in Dungarvan and I was followed around by loads of kids because they recognised Father Damo.
Oh.
I was followed around a Crazy Golf course.
So there he is, struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Cut to a hospital.
A hospital on Craggy Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never thought of that.
Yeah.
Patrick, that's amazing.
Yes, I know. Yeah. You know, nowadays, that would have been forced in the cutbacks. Like, certainly Fianna Fáil would have just got rid of that straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
That wouldn't be...
No.
But it even... No, you need to centralise it. They'd be saying, come on.
Yeah.
And then the nurses and everything.
Yeah, I know. Nurses and doctors and...
Hold on, just
ICU units. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we get... John and Mary in again. They got it. They must get loads of
residuals. They must be loaded.
So many
they
episodes.
Must be going around in limos.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Separate ones, obviously, because they don't get on.
Yeah.
A bit like famous bands.
You've been listening to Talking Ted.
Thank you to Michael Redmond for talking to us.
And for not just sitting there being silent.
This show is a part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. To support the show and for bonus content and lots more, you can become a member of Head Stuff Plus. Go to headstuffpodcasts.com.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.